You know what's not ideal, Nigel?
Nah, dude, what? Let me know, man.
Global warming. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what political party you're with. If you don't believe in global warming, you're an asshole. It's real. It's messing up my allergies, my nose. I'm all stuffed up, as you can tell. And it's because it's 45 degrees one day, and then it's 23 degrees the next day. Mother Nature, can we please have some consistency? Either give me winter or give me spring. That's it. I'm done. That's all I got.
That was a statement. I forgot about allergies. Like, I'm going to be suffering in like 2 weeks.
It's crazy. Ridiculous. And obviously, with me, of course, is Nigel Freeman, my co-host for the weekly off-ball show we do, as well as the audio engineer of the Full Extra Hoops podcast. Nigel, how's it going? Happy belated birthday. Happy birthday for the first time on the Full Extra Hoops podcast.
Thanks, dude. I'm good. Can't be bad.
You could be bad.
Worse. I can't get worse than where I'm at.
For sure. You went snowboarding for your birthday, and you're alive still, which is good.
Yeah, that is something that I thought I would like. I don't hate it, but I'm like in the middle about it. But it's weird because my body hurts from like tremendously hurts from it.
Hell of a workout. I know that.
OD. But then like I'm fiending to go back.
But you didn't like it.
I know. That's the weirdest part about it. I hated it because of how bad I kept wiping out. But I had a dream and I was just like, wait a minute. You know when you have those dreams and you're like, oh, I could do this shit in my dream, and you wake up and you could really do it? That's how I feel.
I think you're just addicted to pain.
I mean, kind of. I do like some pain I like.
Oh, man. We're down the road. I was not expecting already, but it's all fall, so this is where we go, right?
Facts.
Obviously, we haven't been on a show together in a couple of weeks. Hasn't been a lot of music. I'm actually really disappointed in the amount of, or not the amount, the lack of music we've had to start 2019. It's been a weak year so far.
Yeah, the only worth, like, up until last week, there was only one album notably, like, worth, what am I trying to say? Worth talking about. Let's just say that. The only album worth talking about would have been Father of Four by Offset. That was probably the only thing that was popping, the only thing that was good to me, at the least. Like, this is really just our opinions, but
yeah, of course.
Nothing else. I think Kehlani dropped an album that time too, and
I know that kind of hit or miss. There's only one album that I've blasted on a consistent basis in 2019, and that's Everything's for Sale by Boogie. I don't know if you heard that. He's part of
I remember with that.
That album actually is really good. But that's like the only album I've really been blasting. And then we finally got the 2 Chainz and LeBron James album, Rapper Go to the League. And I'm happy with it. I'm impressed. It's a good album. I mean, 2 Chainz had what, Pretty Girls Like Trap last year, the year before. This is his 5th studio album. And it's got Kendrick on it. It's got Ty Dolla, Lil Wayne, E-40, Young Thug, Travis Scott. I think he's got Ariana Grande, Chance the Rapper. He's got some nice features on this album. What are some of your thoughts?
I was looking forward to it because of just the marketing they did for it. And they hyped it up. They had LeBron as the A&R, which is pretty dope. I like songs that I didn't think I was going to like initially. Like, I liked the Ariana Grande song. That
song's
shit,
hard.
That shit, I heard it the first time. I skipped it. Like, I went to the Kendrick song first. And then I was like, I skipped through and I was like, that's all right, whatever. And then, I think I kept letting it play from there. And I let it go all the way through. And then I heard Ariana's song and I was just like, yo. Rewind, started that shit right from the top, played it 3 times. I was like, this is my favorite song right here. But it wasn't as hard as old 2 Chainz albums have been, but it's not a bad thing. Cause he was just trying to basically write a story for everyone. And I think he got his point across.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely changed. I remember, like, his first albums, it was all, you know, it was... His rap has really evolved. I mean, we talked about it a few times in this podcast when, like, you know, Mac Miller, for instance, like, his rap really changed the older he got. And 2 Chainz music has definitely become more influential the last couple albums. It's not just, you know, the typical normal rap music you get nowadays where everybody's just talking about women, you know, partying, money. He's actually giving you substance in this album, which is something that I really like, too. Looking at the songs, the first song, Forgiven, might be my favorite song on the entire album. I think it really sets the tone. Statue of Limitations, the beat of that is crazy. High Top Versace, I think, is solid. Mama, I Hit a Lick, it's good, but, like, it was missing something for me. Like, I kind of wanted that to be better. I don't know. It had, I think, more potential to it. And then Rule the World is solid. I think $2 Bill with Lil Wayne E40's probably one of my favorite songs as well. And I Said
you,
Me.
I Said Me is, I was going to say, like, you like all the featured songs. It seems like, well, you just said I Said Me. And that's actually my favorite song. Second to that would be Rule the World.
What are your top three?
I Said Me, Rule the World, and what would be the last one? Let me see. I'm going to have to go with the Mama I Hit a Lick. Those would be my three. Forgiven is good. I was good off of it the first time I heard it. Like, I can't. This is another one of those albums where I won't go back and listen to it. I listened to it like 3 or 4 times, and that's all it will get for me. And I'll listen to like some of the other songs I like off of there, but as a whole, I can't go back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already at that point. I listened to it probably, I don't know, 3-4 times. It's not a long album. Well, it's actually an hour long album.
It's paced well.
Yeah, it is. It is definitely paced well. I didn't realize it was that long. But now I just go back through. I listen to like my top 3 songs, which are Statue of Limitations is my favorite, and then Forgiven is next, and then I Said Me is third. And if I was making a top 5, I Hit a Lick would probably be 4, and then Girls Rule the World. With Ariana Grande, it would be 5.
Nice. Solid top 5.
Yeah. So now we have to bring it to our off-ball basketball scale. How many basketballs are you giving this album out of 5?
Let me give it a strong 3.
Strong 3. Okay, I'm giving it a 3.5. So we'll meet at 3 and 3.25, which is a funny rank. Because it doesn't have, like you mentioned, repeated playthrough value. Like, I don't think I'll ever listen to this song from top to bottom ever again. Nope. Especially without skipping songs, at least along the way. So that automatically gives it to me out of the 5 and 4 range. And then there are some bangers on this, and there's a couple. I think it's produced very well too, actually, I think it's extremely well produced. So I give it a 3.5.
Yeah, the production's really good on there. Now, if you didn't know any of that LeBron shit, like if you didn't know he was involved in this at all, would you still have listened to it?
Yeah, I didn't. Honestly, I don't know what necessarily Bron did. Like,
he basically, like, what they influence, like, they have say on what goes in the album. Like, if it mean you are an artist and that you're the artist, I'm the A&R. I'm sitting with you throughout the whole step of the process of making this album. I'm helping you go through your beats, helping you go through your track list, all that shit. That's like they're basically the right hand man.
All right. I didn't realize he had. I knew that he was, you know, giving input on where like features should go in and all that. I didn't realize it was, you know, like him literally being like the right hand man to the entire album.
Yeah.
So that didn't, as you could tell, it didn't influence my opinion since I didn't really realize his exact role within this album. But, you know, I guess Laker fans who are worried about the Lakers having just a 0.1% chance to make the playoffs, this is more evidence for them to say, LeBron, you're not focused on basketball.
Yikes.
Those
late nights staying up trying to find some tracks fucks up his whole defense tense on the court.
Yeah, he's got to get pushed by Kyle Kuzma to rotate on certain guys. That was pretty bad.
That was funny to watch.
But sad.
It was just like, it pained me a little bit to see LeBron like that out of it. Something has to like be going on for all this shit to be like, and I know it's not the media, because we all know LeBron's past all that media bullshit. He doesn't let that get to him. So that has to be deeper than that.
I just don't know what it is. I think it's a supporting cast. I just don't think he realized how tough it was going to be on a nightly basis. Like how much he was going to have to, you know, kind of like take over, how the rookies would be kind of inconsistent at times, how all the vets they brought in kind of were flops for the most part.
Stay right there though on the vet thing, because you think about the Heat and you think about the Cavs. Those teams were both built on players who've been in the league longer than 2 to 3 years, right?
Yep.
Now you take that and you go to the Lakers, and then it's just like you have a cast full of rookies, mismatched fucking vets. It's just like you can't pull off the same shit you're pulling off with inexperienced players, like that many inexperienced players and the injuries that they've all had. It's just like this Lakers year has been a mess. And people keep saying LeBron's going to jump ship and all this other shit, but like he had to have known this was going to happen. Like there's no way he can't, he probably wasn't going to vocalize this, but like he couldn't have the mentality of, I want to go in here, win a championship first year. It's never been any of LeBron's teams.
I don't think he thought they were going to necessarily win a chip. I think what the issue was that he had expectations of them at least being a middle to high up playoff team. Mm-hmm. And when reality set in where, you know, they might not even make the playoffs, they're probably not going to make the playoffs now. I don't think LeBron anticipated not making the playoffs. I think that's been like the biggest like hurdle is the expectation of him thinking they were going to at least be a playoff team. And they're as of right now, they have literally a 0.1% chance of being a playoff team.
But dude, so they were that team until the injury.
Right. Until he got hurt and then Lonzo got hurt and then everything got out of whack. You know, I mean, like granted,
they were on pace for at least
they were a four seed when he got hurt.
Yeah, they were on pace for at least a sixth, seventh, or eighth spot.
But then, you know, you not just did he get hurt, but then you had the Anthony Davis rumors come in. And I really think that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back in a sense. I mean, LeBron was obviously out. Lonzo got hurt. And then you have all these rumors about basically that everyone's going to be traded because LeBron wants Anthony Davis. So I think it just kind of like kills the spirit of the team when you know, the best player on the team, the new guy in town already wants basically everyone on the roster gone.
Yeah, I get that. But these guys have to know this shit. I mean, we spoke about this before, but I have a what if scenario for you.
Okay.
Now, when LeBron was when he got drafted to the league, he was on the East, right?
Yep.
He's always been on the East for most of his career. And the East, statistically speaking, hasn't been the strongest side of the two, right?
Correct. Probably 2 decades now.
Right. Now, we take LeBron James being placed in the East, flip it, put him on the West. Would he still be considered the king?
If he spent his entire career in the West?
Well, this like the same type of situation, how he spent most of his time in the West and then come back over to the East. Would he have built his career in the West and reign king in the West if he started out in the West? It's a crazy hypothetical question, what if scenario, but what's your thoughts?
Well, like I'm just thinking in my head of like where he was drafted. And trying to think of where he could have been drafted. So, like, let's say in this what-if scenario, instead of Melo getting drafted by the Nuggets, LeBron gets drafted by the Nuggets, right?
Yeah.
So then you place LeBron James on that Nuggets team where he's got J.R. Smith, Kenyon Martin. They get Allen Iverson at one point in time. They have Chauncey Billups at one point in time. I mean, Melo got that team as far as the Western Conference Finals. And then they got to the Western Conference Finals the year that Kobe and the Lakers beat the Magic in the finals. So arguably you put LeBron on that team maybe beats the Lakers and they probably beat the Magic in the finals that year. But then I don't know. I don't think he has as many titles if he's in the West, right? I think he's probably still got the same kind of accolades, the same MVPs. He's probably still making deep playoff runs, but I don't think he definitely doesn't get the same amount of finals appearances, but I think his ring total probably drops from 3 to 1 if he's on like the Nuggets, for example. If that's like the team that was to draft him originally. But yeah, I mean, his career would be totally different. The West has just been better, like you mentioned.
Yeah, now, okay. So let's stay on this for a little bit. I'm gonna add on to this with Steph Curry having more rings than LeBron, and
no, same.
He has
three.
Yeah, no, he has three. Right. He does have three. Same number of rings as LeBron. Now, why isn't he considered the better player in the NBA?
Why isn't Curry?
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't have as many MVPs. Although he is the first ever unanimous MVP, he's only been doing it for, I mean, he's been doing it for a shorter period of time. LeBron's in year 16, right? Yeah, year 16. Curry, I think, is only in year, I want to say 9. So that matters. And Curry was hurt a lot early on. I mean, Curry's really only been this dominant force for 4 years.
That's number 6 out of my head is 4, yeah.
Yeah, I think 4 is like where you can say for sure that he's been like a top 5 player, whereas LeBron's been a top 5 player for probably 13 of those 15 years or 16 years.
Okay. Yeah, that's a valid point. I didn't put that into my calculations. Now, Durant coming over to the Warriors, does that tarnish or not tarnish? Does that not allow him to be the greatest of all time?
Curry?
Durant. Durant going over to the Warriors and not staying on the Thunder.
Yeah, I mean, I think that goes back to like the original argument that everybody made when he first went to the Warriors, the fact that, you know, it was a coward's way out. He was kind of, you know, I mean, I've softened on that a little bit because it's a business at the end of the day. But again, you know, that Thunder's team was up 3-1 on that Warriors squad. And they blew a 3-1 lead, and then the Warriors ended up blowing a 3-1 lead to Cleveland. But the fact of the matter is, the Thunder probably should have been in the finals that year. Durant and Westbrook were extremely, you know, they're playing at their best, obviously being up 3-1, they fell apart. So I think it does tarnish his, I mean, these titles in Golden State for Durant, they're tainted because he went to a team that already won a title to win two more titles. And maybe even more, depending on if he stays and if they win this year, and who knows how many titles he can, you know, rack up over these next few years. I think it definitely hurts his legacy, but that's a big reason why we're hearing all these rumors about Durant probably leaving at the end of this season. Because I think Durant realizes that going to a team that had Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, going to a team that was already kind of stacked like that, already had won, you know, a league best 73 games, it hurts. And it's going to be what everyone associates with him if he does stay in Golden State. Like, it's always going to have like an asterisk next to it.
Yeah. And then I feel that. I do feel that. Then the last player I want to add into this mix is James Harden. Now, I heard some shit the other day with James Harden that if the Rockets beat the Warriors, then they win overall in the NBA Finals, James Harden will be crowned the best player in the league. Now, what are your thoughts or your opinion on that?
Well, I actually, I don't want to give spoilers, but we're doing a top 50 NBA list right now. The top 50 players in the NBA right now for OTG basketball. And we just got done releasing 50 through 31 is out now. We're kind of working our way down. We already have our list made. I already have my list put together. So I'm okay with releasing who I have number 2. Right now, for me, I have James Harden as the second best player in the league. I'm not going to tell you who's first. I'm not going to tell you who's third. You got to go to the list to find that out. But James Harden, for me, is the second best player currently in the NBA. Okay. Reminder, this Houston Rockets team was 14th in the West at one point in time this season. They're now third. They're 39-25 after one point in time being 14th, waving Melo, Chris Paul being hurt, Clint Capella getting hurt. James Harden had that ridiculous tear where for a week he averaged 55 points per game. He's averaging 36 points per game right now. I think he's the only he's every game this season led the Rockets in scoring, I believe, as well. What he's done this year, we've really never seen. This is kind of like that Kobe year that I wasn't even really coherent for in the middle 2000s when after Shaq left, where Kobe had one that was just putting up massive scoring nights every night. This is what we're getting from James Harden. He's doing it efficiently. And you make a good point. I mean, you didn't actually make your case of where you stand necessarily, but if he beats the Warriors and they win a title and James Harden keeps up this kind of production, He is the focal point of that team, because right now James Harden pretty much carries his team on a nightly basis. And if he does that throughout the playoffs, throughout a tough series with the Warriors, and then throughout whoever they match up with in the finals and wins a title, then it will be really hard for people, especially because James Harden arguably could win MVP as well this year, which would mean he was in the conversation for MVP against Curry 4 years ago. Arguably could have won it over Westbrook triple-double season. Won it last year, could win it this year, and then win a title averaging 36 plus points per game after the team was where they were. I mean, it would be a really strong case of him being the best player in the league. I think if all that occurs, he wins MVP, they get to the finals, win the finals, and James Harden keeps up this kind of production, then, I mean, the case and the argument is there. I still think I might put him first. If that all happens, Nigel, I'll put on the record right now, he'll be the best player in the league.
Okay. I have a feeling who your first and who your first is out of a couple people.
You want to guess?
It's probably Giannis. Yeah. It's just the only person. It's the only person that makes sense in that situation, because it would only be LeBron, Giannis, or James Harden. Let's just keep it real.
I'll say
for the fighting top spot would be those three people.
Right. I think Durant's probably closer than you think.
I always forget about him.
LeBron's taken a major step back for me this year. We actually, where I ranked him this year in the top 50, because the top 50 list we did is based solely on this season. So we're not talking about someone's overall career and everything. We're talking about simply this year, which is why I have James Harden second. The only reason why he's not first is because he had that first month of the season where he just wasn't playing well, wasn't shooting the ball well. And there's whoever I put first had a complete season to this point in time.
Right. Now, it's hard, though, with this LeBron shit, because he was out for a month. If he wasn't out for that month, I really think the season would be totally different.
Well, and there's also just the thought, too, is he even fully healthy yet?
He doesn't look like it, honestly.
Because I'm not positive he is. And he looks, I don't know, he looks just very disengaged. That's probably the best way to put it. It just doesn't look like himself. And it could be that. I know some people said he put on some weight, that he's actually heavier than he's normally. When he gets into like game time shape, he's not normally this heavy, which is also concerning, which is why people think he got hurt, actually, because he had more weight on his body and he's a little bit older. But yeah, man, it's confusing. And obviously now the Lakers are in a terrible spot, and their offseason is going to be really interesting, because
it's going to be a drama.
We're really going to find out if people want to play with LeBron James or not. Like, if they don't get anybody, then it's officially stamped that people don't want to play with LeBron James.
Facts. That's scary, though, to see. Or just to, like, to think about it, it's so fucking scary, because he's been so dominant for so long. Like, you associate the NBA with LeBron James.
Yeah, if they miss it on everybody, then I don't know. It could be. This is a Cam T for OTG wrote an article, actually, about LeBron James. He's predicting he's going to demand a trade out of Los Angeles. He thinks that not next year, but a year after, LeBron James will request and demand a trade out of LA, because he believes LA is going to strike out this offseason.
And that is going to be crazy if they strike out.
Yeah. So check that out, OTGBasketball.com. That's a good article. One of my favorites of the last week. So now we're going to do a little hypothetical. Obviously, the playoffs are right around the corner. We have some hypothetical matchups. If the season ended today, we're going to go through the matchups and just say who we like and in how many games we would pick that team to win. We'll start in the West. If the season ended today, we'd have the Golden State Warriors versus San Antonio Spurs. I'm saying Warriors in four. What about you, Nigel?
Spurs versus... Oh, because the Spurs are eighth?
Yeah. And of course, it always got to be Warriors-Spurs. I think that was the matchup like last year in the first round. The year before it was the second round. Those teams always seem to play each other.
I'm going to go with Warriors 4. What's their series right now, though?
I think the Spurs won one game. I think the Warriors won two. I think it's 2-1. I'm not positive. Don't quote me on that, but I think it's 2-1.
Okay. Yeah, I still think I'll go with 4 on the Warriors on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they're fully healthy, they got that lineup. Obviously, DeMarcus Cousins, too, is just getting back. He's still trying to figure things out. Bad loss last night for the Warriors against the Celtics. They got absolutely mollywopped, and Gordon Hayward had 30 points. And
they got destroyed.
It's funny how chaotic things can be in Boston one day, and then the next day they beat the Warriors, and you're like, oh, wow, this team's actually really good. It's like, yeah, they have a ton of talent. They just don't know how to play together still.
Yeah. It's funny that you see the memes.
The memes are hilarious, yeah.
Yeah.
Next up, Denver Nuggets, Los Angeles Clippers. I'm saying Nuggets in 5.
Nuggets 6.
The Clippers team is pretty scrappy.
They stole the words right out of my mouth.
They just battle hard. I mean, Doc Rivers has done a tremendous job with the talent they've had. You know, Montrezl Harrell is the most improved player candidate. Gallinari, I'm not sure why I'm struggling on his first name. Gallinari's been good. He's actually in shape. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's been solid. Lou Williams is Lou Williams. So, yeah, that team's scrappy. I could see them pushing it to 6. I just have a lot of faith in the Nuggets right now. I mean, they're so deep. Isaiah Thomas just got healthy, too. I just think that team needs to finish up in 5.
They're a team that's trying to prove themselves. And I think they are doing a really good job at that, especially after their win against the Lakers the other night. Like, they are reigning champs, or how do I want to word this? They are the team to be in the Staples Center, I guess, or the head team in the Staples Center. Would it be the
Clippers? Yeah, oh, definitely. The Clippers are they've pushed themselves to a team that at least plays hard every night. Unlike the Lakers. And actually, they got Zubac at the trade deadline, who was on the Lakers, who I still don't understand why the Lakers traded.
I do not understand why they traded him.
For nothing. Traded him for nothing.
That shit is dumb.
And Zubac even said, like, the Clippers actually play hard every night. Like, he came out and said, like, it's this completely different atmosphere than he's had with the Lakers. Like, everybody's engaged every play. Everybody's actually playing hard and cares, which is also not great hearing from a guy who obviously was just on the Lakers playing with all those guys.
He's a rookie too, right? Or
second year, I think. Second or third year.
But, yeah. Like, what I like about the Clippers now, though, is how Patrick Beverley is just a thug on the court. He's just like, I have a chip on my shoulder, like Miami cut me.
Yeah.
And he just showed LeBron up. I fuck with that.
Yeah, I love gritty players. It's one of the reasons why I like Marcus Smart so much too. Those guys who really focus in on the defensive end, and that's kind of where they leave their mark, and then whatever you get offensively is kind of like a bonus.
Yeah.
Next up, the Houston Rockets, Utah Jazz. This would be a really interesting series.
I don't think it's going 7.
I don't think it does either. I think Rockets in 6, but I think it's a really fun matchup.
I think Rockets 5.
Ooh, no faith in the Jazz, huh?
Nah, I don't. I really don't. I'm going to look at their series, though, where I actually confirm that.
I mean, Donovan Mitchell just had that huge 46-point game, huge 20-point comeback win for the Jazz over the Milwaukee Bucks. They're solid. For me, the biggest issue for them is just offense. Like, can they score enough points? Houston obviously scored a ton of points, but Utah does have that solid defense. So I think it's just going to be one of those grinded out series where James Harden probably wills that team.
They're dirty at home. They just suck on the road.
That's a West Coast thing. I don't know if you noticed the records in the West Coast. Like, all the playoff teams at home have fantastic records, and on the road, every team's 500 besides the Warriors.
That shit is interesting.
Like the Spurs, they're 25-7 at home, 11-22 on the road.
That is filthy. That's bad.
The Denver Nuggets, they're second in the West. The Denver Nuggets, they're 27-6 at home, 15-15 on the road.
The home court advantage is real, man.
It for sure is. So next up, well, you still looking up that series?
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with what I said. Rockets 5.
Now this series, both teams focused on defense. Both got 2 stars. Both have the same exact record right now. Thunder Blazers. 7. I'm saying, ooh, really?
Absolutely. 7, and then Thunder coming out with a dub.
I'm saying Thunder in 6. But this
here though, that's all I really care about.
But this is a really big series for both teams.
Facts,
right?
Dude, like this would be the first time the fucking Trailblazers got out of the first round.
No, not the first time.
When the
3 years when they still had Aldridge, Batum, Wesley Matthews, Robin Lopez, and Lillard was still like in his second year, they beat the Dwight Howard, James Harden, Houston Rockets when Lillard hit that crazy buzzer beater to end the series.
Oh, wow. Okay. Years ago.
Yeah, it was like 5 years ago.
Didn't happen.
But then now you look at this team, both these teams, right? Thunder get bounced last year in the first round by the Jazz. Everyone was surprised. The Blazers got swept in the first round by the Pelicans. Everyone was surprised. Both of these teams have a lot at stake if they were to match up in the first round, because I don't think either team can afford to be bounced, right? Like if Portland gets bounced again in the first round, like you have to seriously consider probably like trying to trade maybe CJ McCollum or Lillard because it just isn't working.
Yeah.
And then for OKC, you're really going to have to,
it means more.
Definitely. Because Paul George just re-signed. You've been playing obviously probably some of your best basketball this season. Some of the young guys are coming together, but you know, both these teams will have to reshape their, whoever doesn't make it to the second round of these two teams is going to have a major roster change in the offseason. I just think it will be unavoidable.
Yeah. I just know for a fact, though, that Westbrook isn't going anywhere. He's not moving anywhere.
No.
Westbrook isn't going to move anywhere either.
No.
It'd be like
the role players.
Players, yeah, facts.
And actually, this could be a hot take, but don't be surprised if the Thunder Blazers match up in the first round. Whoever gets bounced, that head coach is fired.
Oh, shit.
I'm just saying. I think if your team, like both these teams are 40 and 25. They're both 39 and 25, right? They both had good years. They both have come up short the last 2 years in the playoffs. With all that talent, the lack of winning, you're going to have to find a scapegoat. And unless you really trust your coach, I wouldn't be surprised if a guy got fired. I think, like, probably Billy Donovan's a little bit safer, but you know, Terry Stotts, you know, if they got like swept again, 2 years getting swept a row, probably fired.
Yeah, peace out.
All right, switching over to the Eastern Conference. Sure. This is like not even a question.
It's honestly depressing to see the Eastern Conference because it's just like easy mode.
Bucks Hornets first round. Bucks and four. Anytime there's a team making the playoffs with an under 500 record, which is right now, the Hornets would be making the playoffs at 29 and 34.
I don't think they're going to be in that spot, though. I think it's going to be the Heat and the eighth seed.
Yeah, in the last episode of Full Access Hoops, I had Kyle Russell on, OTG contributor. We went into like an overview of the Miami Heat. And I think because of how well coached they are, you know, I think the guys are really trying to will this team into the playoffs just for like Dwayne Wade purposes. Like the fact that it's last year, they want to see him on the stage one more time. I hope they make it for the storyline, but it just, I don't know. The bottom of the East is just trash.
Facts, dude. Big trash. You're like garbage cans, dude. Fucking. But it's funny to see this, that the Hawks are 22 and 43. They are three games away from 25. You guessed them at 15 or even 10.
Yeah, I guess them.
You're fighting, man.
I guessed them at, I said 15, I think, again.
Yeah, you didn't. You said they were winning anything past that.
Yeah, well, you know, Trae Young decided to be better than expected, too. So that take also aged.
Yeah, you're just a Trae hater, dog.
Not anymore. I fixed my.
He's a believer.
I repented my sins. He's been really good, actually. I got no beef with him. That actually, we went in depth a little bit on the Hawks on the last episode of the NBA Outlet, episode 162. We talked about that young Hawks team kind of trying to be like the Splash Brothers, like the Warriors 2.0. They're promising. So next up, Raptors Nets.
Well, it's gonna be Raptors 7. No, 6. Raptors 6.
I'm saying Raptors 5. I think the Raptors are, once they get in playoff time, and Kawhi and Lowry aren't taking off any games, Siakam has been crucial. Marcus Gasol was a great addition. I think that team probably wins in 5. I like what the Nets have done this year. The Nets have been really impressive. D'Angelo Russell has been a stud. Caris LeVert is going to be a big time guy. I'm a big fan of their roster. I think the Nets would be more favorable in like a matchup against the Pacers. I think the Raptors have too much star power for the Nets.
Yeah, I'll co-sign that. I feel you on that. I just like the Nets right now. They're playing really good basketball, and it's cool to see them in the playoffs.
Definitely. I mean, the way that rebuild went for them, obviously, they made that terrible trade with the Celtics and that dynasty that they thought they were going to have with De'Aaron Williams, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Brooke Lopez, I think Andre Kirilenko just didn't work out, right? So it took a little bit to get back, and they've Sean Marks, the GM, has done a tremendous job bringing in talent and developing the young guys. And, you know, D'Angelo Russell looks like a guy the Lakers should have kept. Like, that's got to be one of the biggest mistakes they made, is letting him go. And now there's rumors, serious rumors, that it came out. Stephen A. Smith said this the other day that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are interested in going to New York. And he said, I'm not talking about the Knicks either. I mean, that just shows that they've kind of bursted onto the scene. And, you know, Barclays Center, New York in general, is dying for like a really good basketball team. And the Nets are closer than the Knicks right now.
Yeah, dude, that's putting New York back on top. But when they did the D'Angelo trade, the Lakers did that trade. Was Ingram on that team at that time? Yeah, right. It was Ingram. Yeah. And they should have traded
him. It was Ingram's rookie year.
And kept Russell.
Well, they traded Russell because Magic Johnson said Russell wasn't a leader.
He wasn't a leader. And
he's actually become a leader in Brooklyn.
Magic Johnson's a fucking asshole.
Yeah, he's really become,
in my eyes, he's become like a business, on a business standpoint, an asshole. He just an ass.
It's kind of funny. I think like Magic Johnson as the GM, it's kind of getting like, to me so far, I mean, LeBron James is going to save him because that's like a huge signing, obviously. But he's kind of like Phil Jackson in the sense where like he's just not making good moves.
Wait, Phil Jackson, he's a GM of the Knicks.
He got fired a couple years ago. But it reminds me of like just like the lack of, I don't know, the lack of just like coherent, I don't know, the lack of understanding what you need.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like to really get rid of your whole roster for one player, that sounds absurd to me. And then make that your only move in that whole deadline. You don't even look at any other of these other guys. You're bugged. Like there's so many these other people that they could. I mean, this is our podcast has become like a Lakers haters podcast, but it's not. It's really not. But like they could have literally picked any other person to go after.
And they needed more than Reggie Bullock, that's for sure.
Wait, they got Reggie Bullock? Yeah, that's the only person they really fucking got.
Yeah.
But like, exactly, dude, there's so many things they could have did. And it just blows my fucking mind. But that's off topic.
For sure. Next up, Pacers Pistons. This one's tough. This one's tough because the Pistons are the, like, well, right now, the Pistons are 8-2 in their last 10 games. Reggie Jackson's actually playing like Reggie Jackson from OKC. Blake Griffin's been all-NBA, ridiculous. Andre Drummond averages 15 rebounds per game, a league best. That team is really good for those three guys. Their shooting's a little bad, the floor spacing, but Luke Kennard's starting to shoot well. They got Wayne Ellington at the deadline. He was a fantastic pickup for them. I think the Pacers win in 7. But this is like the worst matchup for the Pacers because the Pacers struggle rebounding, and having to go against Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin in a 7-game series is problematic for a team that struggles rebounding.
It's definitely going to game 7. I will give it that. I just don't know who's the outcome of that game or that matchup. Me being biased as a past former Pistons fan, I would say Pistons 7, but it's hard to say.
It's funny because, like, I mean, like, I don't disagree with that. The Pacer fan in me is saying Pacers, obviously, but the realist in me is saying, I mean, we just played the Pistons the other night and the Pistons beat us because they just out-rebounded us. And my fear is that in a 7-game series, that's probably going to happen. And
Miles Turner is going to have to get a lot of boards, and he's like the only one who can get the boards.
It's a bonus too. Don't forget the bonus. Thad Young can definitely like scrap a little bit, but it relies on Miles Turner. Like, how can Miles Turner stack up against Andre Drummond? Like, Miles Turner has to be like playing at an all-star level. I mean, last night he had a career high 7 blocks in one game. So Miles Turner is, I mean, he's a beast. He's actually in the conversation for defensive player of the year, and it's well deserved, but he's just not a very good rebounder, and at times goes non-existent in the offense. And in a series like that against the Pistons, it's really going to be like Sabonis and Turner versus Drummond and Blake Griffin. Like, it's just kind of how the matchups are going to go. And obviously the Pacers continue to play really well despite having no Victor Oladipo. Bojan Bogdanovic, shout out to that guy, because he's the Pacers' best scorer right now. And his shooting splits right now, 49% from the field, 43% from three, 81% from the free throw line. Bojan Bogdanovic, ladies and gentlemen, fantastic. Now, next up, this would probably, like, this playoff matchup, I'm 100% cool with. I think it's going to be freaking awesome. Sixers Celtics.
Seven for sure. I don't know.
This is a really good series, though. Like, this is like an Eastern Conference Finals series in the first round.
Yeah, it's unfortunate this is the first round. I mean, this is all what ifs, though, but it's just, if this was tomorrow, I mean, playoffs really started tomorrow, and this was how it's just going down, I wouldn't want this the first round. I'll be honest. They should, like, fix them.
The funny thing is, everyone expected the Pacers to kind of like take a step back, and the Pacers just really haven't been losing, because everybody thought when Victor Oladipo got hurt that it was like, all right, Pacers probably finish fifth, and then, you know, be Sixers Celtics 3 and 4, and the Pacers refuse to let go of the 3 spot in the East.
They're not going to let go of it, dude, because they're holding on to it for Victor, man.
Tough schedule, let me tell you. Starting next week, really tough schedule. Like, I think the Pacers have the 5th hardest schedule to end the season. They play the Thunder on my birthday. They play the Bucks. They play the Warriors. They play the Raptors. They play the Sixers. The Celtics. Like, this is like their upcoming schedule. They play the Nuggets, I think.
Next week, right?
What?
Your birthday is next week, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. For sure. That's me. 25. I'm a quarter of the way to 100. I'm on my way. I'll make it.
It's a good year, man.
I told I was, this is like a really morbid joke, but I told my friends, I was like, I just want to get to 100. I'm going to get to 100, and then that's it. I'll finish myself off. I'll probably do something crazy, go out with a shebang when I turn 100, but
dude, that's fucking nuts.
I just want to get to 100.
I ever want to live that long.
Yeah, the quality of life at 100 can't be great.
No, if I'm old and I'm walking slow, I'm going to just name shit. If I'm walking slow, my vision is fucking poor.
Definitely
my hearing,
poor.
And if I have no hearing by 50, I'm done.
You're definitely not going to have any hearing. The way you listen to music, you're done.
Facts. I'm jumping off a fucking bridge. Straight up.
Facts. I said building. They were like, well, can you walk 100? And I was like, facts. I'll take my wheelchair up there and I'll roll myself off.
Bro, you don't want to jump off a fucking building to off yourself, dude. That's nuts. That's the worst way to go out.
And the other guys, aim for the bushes. I'm thinking, partner. Aim for the bushes.
God damn, dude. All right. Nuts. So
back to the Sixers Celtics. We didn't give predictions.
I honestly have no fucking clue for this. I just know it's going 7 games. It's going to be intense fucking as hell. And that is all I'm going to say on this episode, because that series is, that's a finals fucking series right there.
Yeah, I'm saying Celtics in 7.
Wait. Hold up, though. So okay. You said Pacers 7 or 76ers 7? Celtics 7?
I think I said 76ers 7.
76ers 7. Okay, cool. Now, the Pacers drop down, right? So 76ers go up, and it's Pacers versus Celtics, and everything's good. Everything would be good in the NBA.
Yeah, until the Pacers beat the Celtics.
Hey, I'm okay with that. I want to see 76ers in the finals, anyways.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're gonna revisit this again probably next month when the standings change once again. So I don't think this is going to be the final
setup.
But yeah, this is definitely the rough draft for at least the first round. All right, final thoughts?
That was it?
That's it. We just went through both conferences.
Yeah, that was fast.
Not really. Oh. We've been podcasting for about 50 minutes.
Holy shit.
Time flies when you're talking.
OD. Final thoughts. It's a damn shame to see the Eastern Conference the way it is. It's just fucking shitty. And I was reaching on that one. I don't know.
I'm somewhat looking forward to the offseason. I'm interested to see where some of these names go.
It's gonna be a reality TV show, dude. Like,
yeah, always is.
They're gonna have fucking live cameras everywhere following all these motherfuckers. It's gonna be fucking spectacular.
For sure. So that's gonna wrap it up for this episode of Full Access Hoops. Be sure to follow this pod on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio. Gonna be starting to get the YouTube back up. Follow us on Twitter at Full Access Hoops, on Instagram at Full Access Hoops. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at KWAL Hoops. That's KWAL Hoops. You can find Nigel on Twitter and Instagram at Formanzy Media. That's Formanzy Media. Also, be sure to check out his podcast. He just dropped the third episode, I believe.
I think it's fourth. I stopped numbering them. I'm just going to put them
episodes.
Out. Yeah, they're just episodes.
So check out that podcast. Nigel talks about a snowboarding adventure for his birthday, talks about albums, the Two Chainz album as well. So you might get some a little bit of different spice on that. What other album did you talk about again?
The Solange Knowles album, Coming Home, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah. Beyonce's sister, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So be sure to check out that podcast as well. Give him some love. And then be sure to check out otgbasketball.com for the greatest up-and-coming content out there. The website's booming. We got a lot of podcasts going right now, a lot of articles. I'm currently running this series called The Other Guys. We're giving love and attention to the role players, the glue guys. Obviously, the superstars and all-stars always get attention, but we don't give enough attention to the other guys who make huge contributions on a nightly basis to help teams win. So we're doing that series. Me and Jack Manuel also are doing a top 50 players currently in the NBA. We just dropped 50 through 31 in the last 2 days. Be sure to check that out. Debate with me. Tell me I'm an asshole. Tell me why is your favorite player not there, and I'll tell you why he's not there. And be sure to check out the rest of that list. We're also running a giveaway right now for OTG. It's an awesome giveaway. Like, it's got a hoodie in there. It's got some sweatbands, a bag, some OTG merch. And all you got to do is follow OTG and retweet it. And at 1,000...
It's fucking simple.
At 1,000 retweets, someone's going to win it. And I can't... 1,000. I retweeted it, and I can't even win it.
He can't fucking win.
I'm in it. I can't even win it, but I'm retweeting it. So be sure to check that out.
Get out of there. Just fucking like it.
It's great value. And trust me, we've done multiple giveaways. I think people, when you do giveaways, are skeptical that you're just doing it for the retweets and the follows. But OTG is kind of like a site where we want to actually be professional. So we're not going to rip you off. We're actually trying to give you guys some awesome value. So head to OTG Basketball on Twitter to retweet and follow us on there. And that's going to do it for this episode of Full Access Hoops. Peace out, knuckleheads.
Peace.